It isn't like you need a mic to hear me, but they record it so it goes on the internet and so others can listen to the message. Praise God. Isn't God good? God is good all the time. All the time? Amen. Open your Bibles with me this morning to Psalms 33. We're just going to establish a little foundation for the direction that the Lord's leading us for today. Psalms 33. You know, we talked about this morning about magnifying the name of Jesus. Amen. No matter what you're going through in life, no matter what you're facing, if you make it bigger than Jesus, you're going to be stuck in it. We magnify the name of Jesus. Every name named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus. We magnify his name over every circumstance, over every situation, over every sickness, over every disease. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, you talk about healing a lot. Yes, because God is our healer. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's my healer. He's your healer too. Hallelujah. I know he healed me and he'll heal you too. Amen. And Psalms 33 verse 20, it says, our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upright in us according as we hope in thee. Amen. So we're talking about magnifying the name of Jesus. Today, the title of the message is Trust is a Must. And our text is found in Isaiah chapter 33. So go from Psalms 33 to Isaiah 33. And look to the one beside you and say, trust is a must. Verse number 13 is where we'll begin. You're there, say amen. Verse 13 says, hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness have surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? And the devouring fire is the fire of his drawing. Who among us shall dwell with in the everlasting burnings? And that speaks of the future to the lost, which is hell. Verse 15, he says, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. It's kind of amazing because he goes through the senses. In other words, we're not to be led by our senses, but by what the Word of God says. So our faith's coming by hearing and hearing by God's Word, right? He said, he shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks, bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. This speaks of provision. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty, they shall behold the land that is very far off. And I want to, the title of this morning's message is, Trust is a Must. Look at your neighbor and say, trust is a must. Trust is a must. You know, he says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So today we're going to look at our course, our conversation, and our conscience. Are you with me? Our course, our conversation, and our conscience. Can we lift the word together and make a declaration in the house of God? Repeat after me, say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word. And my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. And I know I've prayed this so many times, but I just feel led to pray it again. Like the prophet Isaiah said, Father God, send the angel to that altar. Take the tongs and take those coals and place them upon my lips, Father God, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And what I'm asking you, Lord, is to speak to this vessel today. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer that's gathered here today. And when all is said and done and complete, you will receive all the glory, all the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. Amen. So we have our course. He said that we're to walk righteously. You know, the psalmist says the steps of a good man have been ordered by the Lord, and he finds delight in his way. So as we're looking at our course, look with me in Psalms chapter 26. The psalmist David says in Psalms 26, verse number 1. He says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness. For the love of kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. Jesus said, bless them that persecute you and hate you for my name's sake. God isn't telling us to hate the wicked. We hate the wickedness. We do not hate the wicked. The Bible tells us to bless them that persecuted us and despitefully used us for his name's sake, for great is his reward. Great is our reward. So let's not get confused when he's saying that. You know, we're not haters. We're lovers. Amen. Hello? You know, if the church would truly arise, then the enemy would truly be scattered. But the abbot, so many times the church acts so much like the enemy, you can't tell the difference between the enemy and the church. You know, and God is raising us up for such a time as now. God is raising us up. Hey, God perfectly chose us for this time in this season in life. This is the greatest time in history to be living is now. Amen? So it's an exciting time for you and I. But he's talking about us walking in truth. Walking in truth. The wisdom that we have. We'll just use an acrostic for that. Wit. Walking in truth. Yeah, if you want to be wise, walk in the truth. If you want to be provided for, walk in the truth. If you want to be blessed, walk in the truth. You know, if you have things that you're looking for in your life, you have desires of your heart, walk in the truth. As we do this, amen, God can't help but bless us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love the blessings of God. I desire the favor of God. Why? Because he gives it to me. Yes. And he gives it to us for us to take advantage of. Yes. If you don't take advantage of what God has provided you for you, what benefit is it for you? In other words, you can have all the gold and you can own the cattle on 1,000 hills, but unless you sell some cows, you're not going to have any benefit from it. You know, in other words, God wants us to walk in his truth, and he's given us everything we need. Look with me in Psalms 86. Psalms 86. I'm excited today. I'm excited every day. But after service today, my wife and I are going to Pigeon Forge. Now, we're not just going to have fun like some other people I know in the room. Oops. But we're going to have fun. No, I'm going because there's people that are over me that I submit to with Faith Christian Fellowship, the organization that we're involved with. And I'm going to go, and Jeremy Pearson is going to speak in my life. Keith Moore is going to speak in my life. Pat Harrison is going to speak in my life. Happy Caldwell is going to speak in my life. Amen. So I can be refreshed. So I can be renewed. So I can bring some favor and blessings to you. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm so blessed, I get to be the passenger. My wife is the chauffeur. She is so good to me. And the reason she's a chauffeur is because I talk with my hands and so forth. And she doesn't like it when I'm talking with my hands while I'm driving for some reason. I don't know what that's about, but I guess she learned from that hole that's on the passenger's floorboard. Hold on. But Psalms 86 says this. He said, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." I want you to get a hold of something today. If God never did another thing for you, what Jesus did by saving your soul on the cross of Calvary gives you reason to praise him and give him glory. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So many times we're looking for what we don't have and we're not grateful for what we do have. Amen. I don't know about you, but everyone in the room is blessed in some measure and some way. The devil wants you to look at everything you don't have instead of being grateful for what you do have. You know, when I was looking at that, I was reminded of in 3 John, where the beloved John wrote a letter to Gaius because he was excited of the news he heard that his brother was walking in the truth. So look with me in 3 John for a moment. 3 John chapter, we'll just go to chapter 1. 3 John, there ain't no chapter, there's 3 John verse 1. Verse number 1, he says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Then he says how it's prospering. "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Amen. The course that is set before you and I is to walk in truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and it's the truth that shall make you free." Amen. Jesus is the way to heaven, the truth about heaven, the life from heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by the Son. Amen. So as we're walking in truth, that's the course that God has set before us. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Verse number 2. When you're there, say amen. Don't forget, church, this is a happy meal. The Apostle Paul says in verse number 2, he said, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all had our conversation in times past, and the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, feeding our senses, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we have our course. Our course is set before us. We're to walk in the truth. As we're walking in the truth, our conversation changes. We can't keep saying the same thing and expect a different outcome. So many times we speak into the problem instead of the resolution. In other words, God is saying, you know, one of the things that really hurts my heart and I'm praying for is these things that are taking place in the body of Christ and conversations where there's political differences and people are being hateful to one another and saying they're Christians and they're being hateful to one another for because of who is in president and who they would rather have as a president. And some are being hateful because of different cultures and different colors and different things. God made red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in his sight. You pull back the skin and it's all flesh and blood. Amen. We're all the same. And God doesn't love anybody any better than he loves someone else. Hallelujah. Hey, he's no respecter of persons. Amen. Amen. He loves everybody. Praise God. Amen. You know, when I was bound and addicted, what saved me and set me free was the love of God. The love of God came into my room. Not the love of judgment. Not the love of condemnation, but the love came in the room. Not condemnation, but love. Love swept me and took me and delivered me from the power of darkness. Hallelujah. And God says, let love arise in the body of Christ. This is a time like never before when we need to love one another. We need to love one another. We need to have words of goodness and kindness and love to speak to one another. You don't have to tell everybody what's wrong with them. Most of them know what's wrong with them. Hallelujah. They don't need you reminding them of what's wrong with them. Look in the mirror. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, every time I point my finger, there's three more pointing at me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. God didn't call us to judge this world. He's the judge. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. God's called us to love him. So our words got to change. And guess what? When somebody does you wrong, it's not up to you. It's not up to you. God says love them and bless them anyway, and you leave it in his hands. He's the judge. He's the one that's going to take care of it. And he knows how to do everything righteously. Amen. Most of the times, even though we walk in the spirit, we also walk in the flesh. So we have a tendency to respond in the flesh and not in the spirit. Amen. I don't know where that was coming from, but it did come. And thank you, Jesus. So look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. Hallelujah. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of funny. The other day I was sitting in my office, and I ain't going to say who this was, but there's a situation. There was a couple, and I didn't understand some things. And I was looking at it like this, like straightforward, like this. And the Holy Spirit said to me, look at it from this angle. And I turned and looked at it from a different angle, And it was totally different. And then I had revelation and understanding what they were really going through and what they were doing. Amen. You know, sometimes we don't know everything. We got to trust God. Amen. We got to be in a place where we have words of encouragement to speak to one another. You know, he even tells me when I'm preaching and when I'm prophesying that the words are to be edifying. They're to be encouraging. They're to comfort the hearers that are gathered here today. God isn't here to beat you up in any way. There's enough beating up in the world. Amen. This is a place where of healing, of restoration. Amen. This is a place where God takes the miry clay and he sets you on the rock to stay. This is a place of transformation, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen. As our mind is renewed, we're transformed. Then we can prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Amen. And in other words, if you made a mistake, you know what happens? You know the best thing you do with a mistake? Repent and say you're sorry. Stop defending yourself. Stop justifying yourself. In other words, if you're wrong, just admit that you're wrong. Hey, nobody in this room is perfect. There's no one in this room that's perfect, but we serve a perfect God. Amen. And in his perfection, he comes and heals. He comes and restores. He comes and reconciles. You know, even in marriages and relationships, sometimes they go through storms and they get rocked, and the Spirit of God by love will come in and reconcile and restore and heal. Hallelujah. Praise God. But the word of the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, he said, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance," not calling anybody ignorant, but we are ignorant to the knowledge and wisdom of God, "but as he that hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." It doesn't say when you feel like it. He doesn't say when everything's going your way. It's when somebody really gets you. You know, let the words out of your mouth be sweet. Amen. And you know what? There's not a person in this room that can do that in their own strength. But his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And I have to accept his strength in that place. In other words, I got to recognize I can't do it, but I can do it through Christ that strengthens me. Hello? In my flesh, I cannot do it, but in the Spirit, through Christ, I can. Amen. It's all in these senses he's trying to get to. Turn me to Psalms chapter 19. Well, you sure got a lot of word. Yeah, I love the word of Jesus. I love the word of God. He tells us in Psalms 19 how to deal with our senses. Hallelujah. Those five senses that try to control everything in our life. Hallelujah. Verse number 7. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. And we put those things, we had to allow the word to take control of our senses. Hallelujah. God doesn't call us to be robots. Amen. God called us to be human flesh that choose to follow and to love him. Amen. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, in Proverbs 2, verse number 6, he says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, and every good path." You know, he says we're to walk righteously. We have the course. We're walking in truth. We're to walk, we're to talk uprightly. You know, our words, our conversation. We're to be speak words of life and not words of death. Amen. And then all thirdly, go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, in this light, the Apostle Paul is speaking to bishops and to deacons, but I believe that we're all disciples of Christ Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. Amen? And sometimes people say, well, this has a standard for someone else that's higher. Well, nobody's higher. Nobody's calling is any higher than your calling. Hello? We're all called. We're all anointed, and we're all appointed. Amen? Everyone's given gifts. God gives gifts to every man according to his will. Amen? That the manifestation of the Spirit to give, be given to every man to profit with all. Amen? So God's gifts are flowing. So the Apostle Paul, writing to his students, says this, speaking of a disciple, a follower of Jesus. He said, "Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." In other words, what the Apostle Paul was saying, we're supposed to be the same out there as we are in here. Amen? Amen. We're men and women that are supposed to, we're to walk with integrity. He's speaking to the conscience now, to the mind. He says, "Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not saying one thing and doing another." You know, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He's unstable in here and out there. He says to you and I, he says, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, but holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. In other words, we're walking with integrity. That's our conscience, is our integrity. You know, and when the Holy Spirit convicts us, you know, that sometimes we deny him. Hello? And he convicts us again, and we deny him. And if you continue to deny when the Holy Spirit quickens you in something, he will not quicken you in that area any longer. Your conscience will be seared. In other words, I remember when I was a young man, when I was in the Navy, I used to get bloody noses. And what they did is they stuck a rod up my nose and they burnt the vessels. They cauterized them so blood wouldn't flow. And sometimes our conscience gets cauterized. And God keeps telling us something and something, and we keep rejecting him and not following through with what he's calling and what he's telling us to do. And most of the things that he's speaking to us about is bringing harm to us and to others, but we're not seeing it because our conscience is seared. It's no longer thinking the way it should think and seeing the way it should see. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn with me to Psalms 41. Let me ask you something. Do you think God was just saying these words just for the sake of talking? Hello? The psalmist says this in Psalms 41, verse number 10. He says, "But thou, Lord, be merciful unto me and raise me up that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doeth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me and mine integrity, and thou settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." Amen. In other words, God says that what did he say in our text? Those that weren't living a life that was pleasing, that weren't walking up righteously, they weren't talking uprightly. Amen. They were abusing in the world. Amen. Hey, we're children of God, and we're to be children of God out there in the marketplace, out there in the world, in our workplace. We're not to react as other people react that don't know Jesus. Amen. We're to be an example. Like we said earlier, to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and give our Father in heaven all the glory. Amen. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Hallelujah. You know, we're followers of Jesus. We're followers of Jesus. And Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 11, "Pastor, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm in a courtroom and I'm establishing my case." Hello? Just the facts. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2. "When pride cometh, then shame. Then cometh shame. But with the lowly, there is wisdom." In other words, without humility, without humbling ourselves, pride comes before the fall and the haughty spirit before the destruction, according to God's word. "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness." You know, he says in Proverbs 19, verse number 1, this is all about wisdom. "Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool." Huh. I have one more that I want to use here. He says in verse 6 of Proverbs chapter 20, he said, "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" Listen to this. "A just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." In other words, if you're not walking in integrity, your children won't follow you. You know, the Bible says, "Train them up as a child, when they grow old, it will not depart of them." And those things that you do, the kids don't miss nothing. Hello? They don't miss a thing. They see everything. Amen. And what God is saying to you and I is simply this, that, hey, that trust is a must. If we trust the Lord with all our hearts, and we don't lean to our own understanding, in all of our ways we acknowledge him, that he's going to direct our paths. That we're walking in truth, and that's our course. We're our conversation, our language is changing. Amen. My voice didn't change. God created me like this. You know, so I'm not going to try to sound like someone else because I'm preaching. Because I'm speaking to you in the Word. I'm just not going to change my voice when I'm talking to you about Jesus. When I get excited, I get loud. And when I get excited at home, I get loud too. And when I get excited out there, I get loud too. Amen. God is just saying, hey, he wants us, he created us perfect. He created you and I just the way he wanted us. Amen. And sin of this world has come in and tainted that perfect creation that God created. And God is just ministering things so you can be the one that he's created you to be. Amen. I don't know about you. So our conversation changes and our conscience changes and our integrity changes. So in closing today, look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Half of the people said, wow, man, I thought he was never going to say that. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. That's why he says to study, to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Paul writes and warns his student Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, he says, now the Spirit speak expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You see, when that conscience is seared, all of a sudden, sin becomes comfortable. Jesus paid the price on Calvary for you and I. The Word of God says, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. God has set a course before us. We're walking the truth. And he's not condemning anybody in the room. There's an area in everyone's life in this room where we need to grow. There isn't one person in this room that does not need to grow. Nobody has arrived yet. We're all on a journey. We're all on a journey together. We're not to beat each other up. We're to lift one another up. We're to encourage one another. We're to be a blessing to one another. Amen? We're to love like the world never knew how to love. See, the way the world loves is all about flesh. It's all about what you can do for me. And the love of God is no matter what you do, I'm going to love you anyway. Because God's love is agape love. It's unconditional and it doesn't come with terms and conditions. Amen? So he says to you and I in closing today that the course is set before us, that we need to change our conversation. And allow the Spirit of God to work on our conscience. Bow your heads and let us pray.